This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support for this podcast is provided by Subchuck Law. Revolution Recap thanks Subchuck Law for their support of our show, local independent media, and their mission of bringing unbiased truth. Revolution Recap would also like to thank 6 Point Builders for their support. 6 Point Builders are builders of fine custom homes in the Boston metropolitan area. Revolution Precap, part of the Believe Network. We're here to get you ready for the Revs' Saturday night home game against NYCFC. It's the Revs' second game against the most deplorable team in all of Major League Soccer, having lost the first game 2-0 back on April 13th in the outfield of a baseball stadium on a field sized for 99. However disappointing this Revs' season has been, just remember, you could always have ended up a New York City FC fan and have to lie to yourself that there's nothing wrong with their ownership group and that actually the sight lines at the revolving baseball stadiums they play in are pretty good for soccer once your neck muscles make the adjustment. The Revs head into this game in dead last in the Eastern Conference, a familiar place for them over the last several weeks, and all of Major League Soccer having taken 7 points from 12 games. They've also scored a league-low 9 goals, and only 4 teams have allowed more than the 25 goals that the Revs have let in. If the Revs organization was a serious functioning soccer enterprise, Caleb Porter would have been fired this week after clearly showing everyone he's lost it in his post-game press conference. But of course, that has not transpired. I think most of Revs Twitter, Revs fans were waiting around all day Monday to see if the club would actually show some signs of life and do something to try and revive what is clearly a bus that is out of control. But we must continue on with Porter for at least one more week. And as he mentioned, you know, he's here to stay. He's here for the long haul, which is great that he has that opinion. But unfortunately, he seems to forget that he's not actually the person that gets to decide that. I can only tell you how many jobs in my life I wouldn't have stopped having if only I had been the one to determine whether my employment would continue or not. Anyway, the Revs currently sit 10 points out of the playoff picture, but they do have 1 or 2 games in hand against all the teams above them. So in theory, a quick little uptick in form here, they might be able to move themselves up a couple spots. And actually, they could even move out of last place with a win on Saturday, as the Chicago Fire are determined to show that they won't be outdone by anyone when it comes to complete and utter failure as a sports organization. If following last place team isn't quite doing it for you these days, you should consider checking out our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. And after the Revs game starts and finishes, we do want to let you know that the Revs amputee soccer team will be playing NYCFC's amputee team after Saturday night's game. You can check out the Revs amputee team on Twitter. Oh, mentioned it twice now. At Revs Amp Soccer. So that's Revs AMP Soccer. For more information about the game and the American Amputee Soccer Association as well. So that game will get started just a little bit after the conclusion of the Revolution game. So, you know, no matter how well or how poorly that game goes, you know, please do consider sticking around and watching the Revs amputee team take to the field and try and get a victory for themselves. This week, as part of our two-part preview this week, we kick off with Seth Maycomber's interview with Chris Winningham from Apple's MLS season pass coverage. So have a listen to that, and then we'll come back on the other side to have a look at what the Revs are up against on Saturday. And we'll also have a quick little catch-up on Caleb Porter's latest press conference and gaffe-filled time with the local media.
All right, everyone, it's Seth Maycomber from the Blazing Musket. Happy to be joined by another personality from Apple MLS Season Pass on Apple. This week is a resident of Foxborough, basically, right? It's Chris Whittingham. Chris, how are you today?
Yes, I do spend a lot of time at Gillette Stadium, and bad news for Revolution fans, I will probably be spending more time in Foxborough over the course of these next few months. So, yeah, happy to be on, and always enjoy chatting about the Revs with you.
Chris, we're going to get into the Revolution right now. Not going so well, 2-9-1. But I got to ask you, as a resident of Foxborough at this point, where are you eating? What are some of the things that you're enjoying when you're at Patriot Place?
Yeah, I feel like I do spend an inordinate amount of time at Patriot Place. I'm a big fan of hibachi. And so is it Saga, the one that's there at Patriot Place? Absolutely love it. I usually end up sending it. I'm in a group chat with a few of the guys that we call the games with the season pass. And so we love hibachi. So I always remind them that I'm there. A lot of time at Bar Louie. This past weekend, we had a great time at the candy store that's there. So Lori and I walk in like, oh, let's get hyped up for the game. Let's have a bunch of sugar. And I'm alarmed at the amount of candy that I walked out of there with. So yeah, I've been to, I think maybe the Italian place and the Coal Oven Fire pizza place are the only places I haven't been to a Patriot Place over this last year. So I am well familiar with that area.
Love it. All right, we've delayed it long enough. We've been starting the podcast the last few weeks with a question. What's going on with the New England Revolution?
I think this past week it's hard to really identify like what the underlying issues are, because when you get a red card 15 minutes into the game, then you don't really get a sample of, well, what would the game have looked like had we gone the full 90? It's kind of a game that you toss out. I think in the overall, it's a team that is struggling to bed in a new identity. I don't necessarily think that means that the new identity isn't worth pursuing or that they're doing necessarily a bad job of implementing it. But I do think that the departure from the way that Bruce Arena coaches to the way that really any other coach that would come in with any kind of system is so different. To me, the only thing that I can compare to is that Red Bull pressing 4-4-2, because it's similar, that midfield diamond. Like, if you're trying to stay in a similar realm, it would be that. But I think Bruce Arena is kind of a uniquely American soccer. He has an American soccer identity. And any other coach that would come in and want to implement positional play and want to implement a different defensive structure, it's going to be some teething. And I think the other thing, too, is that it's hard to go from something that works to something that feels like it's not, or something that feels like there are problems in making it work. And maybe there are slight differences of what the personnel required versus what the personnel is in the team. I think the one thing that you would fear now with the amount of struggles that there have been is, well, is there a frustration now with the betting in of the identity? And do you just sort of reach a point where you lose confidence and, well, this was working, now we're moving to something that's not? I think it would kind of be foolish in my view to move away from the process, because I think any move of a process away from a Bruce Arena side takes some time. You look at how long for the Galaxy it took for them to get to the point where they are now, where they're competing at the top of the Western Conference. It took them 8 years. Now, some of that was flawed decisions in the front office level and flawed decisions in coaching and all kinds of issues that are at that club. But I think the biggest thing is that you're moving away from Bruce Arena tactics. And I think now you're going through a long process. I think the question is, it needs to see some positivity. But the teams that are coming to Gillette over this home stretch, difficult teams to beat. You look at New York City FC at the weekend. Maybe 6 weeks ago, you would have said, not a bad opponent to face at this moment in time. But now that they've won 6 out of 7 and they're figuring out their answers to their problems that they had at the beginning of the season, tough team to come up against. So I think there'll be some struggles still, but you got to try to put some wins on the board in the interim.
Yeah, and I think that soccer, like a lot of sports, it's about momentum, right? This idea that when things are going well, you kind of build on that. The confidence happens. You're not making the mistakes, but when things aren't going well, those mistakes get magnified. And I was talking to Caleb Porter as part of the press conference earlier, and there's a lot of talk about having the front three that you want right now being on the field and the ability to have a roster that is getting healthier. And I think that this weekend's game is a big one because you have you're able to put a starting lineup that you want to have. I mean, Thomas Chankele, Dylan Barrero, probably Giacomo Veroni up top, Carlos Gil, like you haven't seen those guys yet. And in the back line, you have to avoid making those mistakes. Maybe you look at the back line, the left back, you lose Ryan Spalding, but hopefully you gain Dewan Jones. Caleb Porter said it's going to be a decision that's made later on if he's able to start, but he was able to play 30 minutes last week. And I think you have a goalkeeper that's now going to be the goalkeeper going forward. I think Ivicic has been a very good goalkeeper. So when I look at this upcoming weekend's game, it's about showing up now. You know, there's been lots of struggles so far, illnesses, injuries, also this idea of like the congested schedule, all those types of things. But now, can you put it together on the field? What are they going to look like? So, Chris, do you view this as a game that the Revolution have to show up and have to do well? There's never a must-win game this early in the season, but is it kind of a must-win game?
Yeah, I mean, you're not far away from them because the team that was set ninth, which is the playoff line, you lost to last weekend, and they still sat ninth because of the results that went on around them. So you're drifting further and further back. And I must win is always generally associated with the consequences of points, but this is must win in terms of get some positive feeling, then feel like you're building something, feel like you're not going to be on this trajectory for the full 34 games that you can finally turn this around. I agree with you in terms of personnel and in terms of getting players back on the field, but even if you do get that dream front three that you mentioned, Chankele, Borrero, and Vrioni, I still think at the same time, Borrero, to me, a little bit last weekend, he's still coming back from a long-term injury. And it's been a year out, and he's got to get back to full fitness. I don't think he is near that point just yet. He's playing in games, and he's showing some of his skills, but we saw the explosion at times from Borrero a year ago, and I understand maybe a little bit of trepidation of, all right, I don't want to go back to a year-long recovery if I tear this ACL again. It's got to feel structurally sound. It's got to feel good before I give it my full explosion, my full everything. And so that'll be the case too when Brandon Bae comes back and Dewan Jones has been out for a while. It's not just as simple as, well, the players are back, therefore 100% versions of themselves are back. It's about building over the course of time. I think the biggest thing to happen is, you know, partially personnel, you're right, but the biggest thing is getting Carlos Gil into dangerous positions and how do you get your build to a place out of midfield from defense to where Carlos is picking up the ball in space, can get his head up and look to pick out a pass. That's been the sequence that New England have been so good at for years that has not been as good really since August time last year on the time that Bruce Arena left. They just haven't been able to get Carlos in those good spots and you see the outcomes of that. He is responsible for so much creativity. Usually, he hasn't really created that much this season. So I think the biggest thing is, yeah, you get, and Caleb Porter told us, and he makes a great point. Carlos loves playing with good players, right? And anyone would, but there's something about the football brain and knowing what to do, making runs and working off of other great players that you just feed off of. And so he loves having Borrero back, but at the same time, he's got to be able to show the full breadth of his talent, and maybe he's a few weeks away from doing that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the other thing to kind of consider here with those players on the field is building a little bit of that chemistry. I mean, Thomas Chankele is used to playing on the left-hand side. Well, Dylan Barrero is used to playing on the left-hand side. So if you move Thomas Chankele over to the right, which we saw when they were playing together, well, that's a little bit more of a different dynamic. Let's see what happens, especially because Thomas Chankele was on a good run of form until he had to get that suspension because of yellow card accumulation. So I think that you're right. That it is going to take a little bit of time still. It's not going to be automatic. But I think from like the season standpoint, the momentum standpoint, the fan standpoint, right? they need to see something this upcoming week, a result in some way, scoring more than one goal. I mean, this is a team that's only had 9 goals on the season. They scored 2 against the Red Bulls, but like, it was a 4-2 loss. So I think that there's moments that you can see that there's a process that's happening. There's good things that are happening. But if you're a fan, you want to see a little bit more happening this upcoming weekend. Do you think that's right, Chris?
For sure. And I think a big part of that is the overall picture coming together, because you're listing players in Shankalai, in Heal, in Dylan Barrero, who have a track record of performing well. Vrioni, I still think, is a player that has yet to fully prove it at MLS level. But even in that midfield, Holster and Kay in the back, Arriaga, Kessler, even Ivicic has MLS pedigree. So you know that there are players that can put together a performance. It's about all of that coming together. And I think Caleb Porter is still trying to figure out how to make all that come together. And you play 3 matches in a week next week, and you've got difficult games coming up, and you want to see, because you know, even though Philadelphia, for instance, I think Philadelphia is the ultimate kind of example of this, the team that they played last week. It's identity. You know when you play Philadelphia Union what you're going to get. And right now, when you play New England Revolution, you know that you're getting some semblance of an overall team identity, an overall possession-based, positional play, move players here, move players there. But you don't really know what their calling cards are, because like you said, they only have the 9 goals on the season, and they've had a couple of games now with red cards. And so what even is New England Revolution at this moment in time? I think that's the answer that they're trying to find, and they felt good about what they were building. Spoke to Caleb last week, even in the Red Bulls performance. They're playing a difficult pressing team. That's always a tough game away at their place. And like you said, they scored 2 goals and there was some element of positivity. But now it's like another step back. There's frustration with the red guard who fills in at that left back spot this week. Now that Spalding is out, there's still questions. And I think that's the biggest thing that they have to figure out.
Chris, you mentioned this idea of questions, and I think that for some people, they're looking at Caleb Porter. Obviously, a hard task to come in after Bruce Arena, a very different type of coach, you know, positional play coming into effect with Caleb Porter. I was listening to the podcast with the Journeymen, with Dax McCarty and his crew. Really good conversation about, do you stay with a coach and build continuity and try to get that momentum going forward? Or do you possibly change a coach and try to, you know, salvage a season in some way? And we just saw Nashville switch their coach, right? You know, Gary Smith there for a very long time, the only coach ever of Nashville SC. When you look at Caleb Porter, where do you think he sits on this idea of you know, do you keep pushing forward and trying to get him the right players? He talked about bringing in 3 to 5 players during the summer transfer window. Do you stick by this individual, or at some point is there an idea that maybe we should move on to someone else? Because I think it's an interesting question, stability versus change.
Yeah, and for me, you got to stick with the process with Caleb Porter, just because I do think that any coach, like I said earlier, that was going to come in and replace Luis Arena was going to have a job on that was going to be incredibly difficult. And so I think you have to, if you hired him in the first place, it's because you believe in him, or you believe in some semblance of what the process that he can bring. He's an MLS Cup winning manager. And so you brought him in for a reason. The only reason why you wouldn't is if you felt like the players weren't on side. And I don't know, from everything that we've heard, we talk to players every week. We talk to Caleb every week. I think we'd have some indication if we felt like they weren't buying in anymore. And so I think you got to keep pushing. You got to persevere, because there is talent in this team. It's about withdrawing it. And I do think that at some point, the tide is going to turn and New England is going to get on a run. But at the same time, if that run isn't long enough or whatever, I'm not a believer in you give a manager 14 games, 13 games, and you say, all right, that's it. It's not working. Like, if you actually believed in something, if you made a hire, if you believe in a process, then just keep going all the way and see it out to at least the conclusion of this year. Let them get in the summer window. And if they want to make personnel changes, they can make personnel changes. But I'm not a believer in making changes this quickly. So I would be really surprised if New England did. It would really have to get out of hand from a result standpoint and from what it feels like in the dressing room standpoint. So for me, no, I wouldn't make the change.
Obviously, this weekend is an opportunity to push that thing forward. New York City FC comes to Gillette Stadium, maybe enjoy some hibachi, maybe enjoy some sugar afterwards, probably not before the game. Chris, I'm wondering, what do the Revolution have to do to get a result, to get things back on track? What can you tell us about New York City FC?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for them is they've always felt like they've created chances and that their style of play is generally well, but they just haven't finished their chances. And now they are starting to. So you looked at that line of 3 in behind the center forward. The center forward has changed a lot. And now you're starting to, you know, figure out solutions and how to combine it that third quarter. Bakrar finally got his score sheet. He was meant to be that main striker that was going to score the goals. Finally gets a goal in the Derby match against New York Red Bulls. But it's that line of three behind them. And they've got choices. They've got Julian Fernandez. They've got Agustino Ojeda. They've got Santi Rodriguez. They've got Alex Wolf. They've got Alonso Martinez. Five different players that you can ostensibly pick in that line and behind the center forward. And it's about figuring out those threats. I think the big miss for them is James Sands in midfield. Honestly, the combination of Sands and Parks is one of the very best in Major League Soccer. I think they've got a pretty rock-solid goalkeeper in terms of shot-stopping with Matt Freese. So I think the pieces for them were always there. It was about figuring it out. But the curious thing for me is they won 6 out of 7. That would suggest that they're one of the best teams in the league. They haven't shown that level of consistency with this group yet. And so you wonder how much build after build after build, game after game, now that they're not as home, they had 5 straight at home or 6 out of 7, something like that, taking it on the road. They won in Toronto. So the big thing now is, how do you actually make it tell game after game? Are they actually one of the strong teams in Major League Soccer? Because the results right now will show that they are, but they've got to keep proving it. So I think a lot of challenges from a defensive point of view and figuring out ways behind that back line is not going to be easy. So in my estimation, New York City definitely go in as favorites, but New England, if they put together their very best performance, they can certainly get something from it.
I like what you said there about proving it. I think the New York City FC have to prove it. The New England Revolution have to prove it. Chris, as always, it's great to catch up with you. You can catch the game this weekend on MLS Season Pass at 7:30. Chris, pleasure as always.
Seth, thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, good stuff from Seth, as always. It's always great to get, from fresh perspective on the Revs each week from someone that is, a little bit further away from the dumpster fire, and we can at least try and get their sense of, what color the dumpster fire has to them, viewing it from afar. Chris seemed to be inclined towards Revs fans giving Porter some more time, for his system to develop. And, to be perfectly honest, there was a good amount of, not a good amount, there was a decent amount of Revs fans that were holding that position that we just need to give Porter some more time and let his system develop and players back to health. And, well, you know the excuses at this point that we've had to listen to. But that really seemed to turn on Saturday night. I'm sure most of you have heard by now, Porter got a little testy in his press conference with Sam from the Blazing Musket. Didn't particularly like being asked the question that he was asked, or didn't like being asked that question at the time that he was asked it. Trying to keep in mind, of course, that he does only make himself available to the guys that cover the team, typically twice per week. So there's not a ton of opportunities to ask questions about why last year's best defender on the team is no longer playing. He did elaborate on that answer a little bit on 98.5 The Sports Hub today. Basically said that, the team really struggled in their first 6 games and Romney was on the field while they were struggling, and that's why he's not playing, which would be great if the Revs had seen an uptick in form upon benching Romney. But of course, we know that, that has not transpired. He did have an interesting moment trying to answer that question as well. He went into a long-winded answer, as he tends to do, talking about luck. He said that the Revs have had a lot of bad luck in terms of, red cards and penalties and not getting any of those in their favor. He said, we're not getting, much luck. So blaming luck for their struggles. However, in the very next sentence, but I do believe you make your own luck. we're going to make our own luck moving forward. So bit of an interesting dual position there from Porter. For those of you that are keeping track of this would be one to put down in your notebook or, a Google Doc that you may or may not have to keep track of all the times he contradicts himself. But Porter seems to go straight from saying that the team just hasn't had luck, go in their favor, to then implying that it's actually the team controls their ability to create luck. So as usual, one has to ask, well, which one is it? Is it the team's lack of luck? Or is it their inability to create luck? Maybe that's one of the metrics that he has that we're not privy to. Maybe there's a expected luck, and the Revs are actually just massively underperforming their expected luck, and that will turn itself around at some point in the season, and luck will start to go their way.
But of course, what we do need to keep in mind is the one thing that he is amazingly consistent at is whether it is bad luck or an inability to create luck, the lack of luck is not the fault of Caleb Porter. So just make sure that we keep that in mind. As much as he struggles to get through his media appearances, he does continue to manage to stick to that narrative of ultimately, I, Caleb Porter, cannot be blamed for anything that happens with this team. Unless, of course, it's a good thing. Then he does actually take credit for that. Just not the bad stuff. So just a little bit of housekeeping there with Porter's weekly trip to 98.5, the Sports Hub, to have a chat with those guys. And he did have a bit of a slip-up as well. He said that you can't read everything that you hear. I'm just gonna say that again, because you might have just quickly thought that he said, you can't believe everything you hear. But he did indeed fact say, that's why you can't read everything you hear, which is actually true. You can't read things that you hear. You can either read something or hear it, but it is very difficult to do both of those things. Maybe if this was, I don't know, any other coach coaching anywhere in New England, you could just kind of have a laugh about it and be like, hey, whatever, we all make mistakes and so on and so forth. But, it is just kind of funny. I mean, even if we really liked him and things were going swell and all the things that he keeps saying are happening were actually happening and the team was doing well, it still would be pretty funny to hear someone say that you can't read everything that you hear. But when you are publicly taking shots at people that cover this team and giving them a hard time for not asking you questions in the way that you want them asked when you want them asked, you're really not going to get the benefit of a doubt from anyone. You certainly won't be getting it from anybody that comes on or listens to this podcast. But anyway, on to this weekend's opponent. The Revs head into this Saturday night home game off the back of a nail-biting 3-0 loss to Philadelphia at home last weekend. That was the Revs' fifth loss in the last six games. Including this Saturday, the Revs have five of the next seven at home. It would be a great opportunity for this team to finally start doing all the things Caleb Porter keeps telling us are just around the corner. But it must be, one heck of a long corner, similar to like an on-ramp to 495, where the corner just seems to keep going and going and going and going, and you start to doubt whether there's actually going to be an end to the corner that you are on. So, remains to be seen how much longer we will be trying to turn this corner. NYCFC is a team that is so pathetic in its pharaoh existence that no one even spells it out. Right in Gillette Stadium, home of the 2007 U.S. Open Cup champions, in third place in the East with a record of 7 wins, 2 draws, and 5 losses. That's correct. They have as many wins as the Revs have points. They've scored 18 goals, which is pretty tame, to be honest. Seven Eastern Conference teams have scored more, but they've only conceded 16, and just 3 Eastern Conference teams have defended better so far this year. New York City FCers have won 4 of their last 5 and have 2 wins, a draw, and 3 losses in their 6 away games so far this season, scoring just 6 and conceding 8 from wherever it is that they call home. Santiago Rodriguez is the man in form for New York, with 5 goals and 3 assists on the season and an average match rating of 7.44. He's created 30 chances, had 34 successful dribbles, and won 32 fouls on the season in 14 games. So, fun little game this weekend. We'll see how long does it take Marc-Anthony Kay and Matt Polster to pick up yellow cards by kicking him all over the field in the first 30 minutes on Saturday night. Hans Wolf is another player to watch out for, playing in a wide attacking position. He has an average match rating of 7.19. And he's chipped in 2 goals and 3 assists this season while playing in every game for the Knicks. NYCFC. Despite only allowing 16 goals in 14 games, they only have 2 shutouts. So they don't give up a lot of goals, but they have conceded in every single game except for 2. Of course, one of those 2 was against the Revs, but they do concede at least once in almost every single game. It'll be another tough game for the Revs, of course. The Mets have taken points in half their away games this season. They have a stingy defense and come into this one in great form. If you're still rooting for the Revs to win and start to turn this thing around on Saturday, maybe Coney Island FC will hit a bump in the road and take the Revs lightly. Or, if you've turned to the dark side, and some of us have, and actually want things to get so bad that the Revs have no choice but to fire Caleb Porter, there's plenty of reasons to think that they'll drop this one, and maybe, just maybe, that will come true. But, of course, whatever transpires, good, bad, or otherwise, we'll be here to talk about it after it's all over. Until then, we hope you all enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. And what better way, of course, to enjoy it than with a variety 12-pack from Zero Gravity Beer. I have one right here beside me, which I will happily down in short fashion as soon as I'm done wrapping up this podcast. And I suggest that you do the same responsibly, of course, this weekend. We'd also like to thank all of our actual sponsors for their support of this podcast. So thanks, as always, to the Rebellion Supporters Group, Subtruck Law, Six Point Builders, The Blazing Musket, and Bet Online. So, hope you enjoyed this preview of this weekend's impending game. Hope you can stick around for the amputee game that takes place after the game on Saturday. And again, even if the stadium burns down on Saturday night, if we are able to escape alive, we will be back to talk about all of it after the game next week.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.